For the longest time, as long as somebody, some entity, was claiming that worker as an employee, reporting them on a W-2, capturing all of their wages and paying the employment tax, didn't seem that anybody really cared whether that was the right person or not. But now, there are multiple reasons to really care about which party is claiming that worker as an employee. One of these is the matter of FUTA, federal unemployment tax. It's a small amount. It's $56 per year per employee, basically, but you still have to get it right. 501c3 organizations do not owe FUTA. They're exempt. But 501c4 organizations do. And so if you listened yesterday to all of the discussion about the relationships between C3s and C4s that are so important in the advocacy universe, one of the details that comes through is if you are sharing employees so that you have an employee working for both the C3 and the C4, there is FUTA owed with respect to the wages paid on behalf of the 501c4. Well, that's a bit of a problem currently because the IRS has no way for a 501c3 to pay FUTA tax. The new Section 4960 tax, which you will hear about in great detail, also makes this a fairly significant issue because when you have compensation paid with respect to a remuneration, I should say, yes, with respect to a covered employee of an applicable tax-exempt organization, tax comes into play. When you have compensation paid by a related organization, that might come into play. But what if this is an employee of a purely taxable organization who is never an employee of the applicable tax-exempt organization? Could that change the whole picture? So it becomes really important for 4960 purposes to know who is the employer. And then, to the extent any of you work with organizations that have employees in multiple states, you may be familiar with the new law in California known as California AB 5. That is the bill number. This is getting a lot of attention because Uber is fighting it tooth and nail. It was designed specifically to try and deal with the Uber-like circumstance where you've got lots and lots of people being claimed as independent contractors and therefore not getting benefits. The California AB 5 legislation applies something called the ABC test. This is not the common law test. The ABC test says that a worker will be considered an employee if they are free from the control and, oh, I'm sorry, they will be considered, they're presumed to be an employee unless the following three things are true. They're free from the direction and control of the company for whom they are performing the work. They perform work that is outside the usual course of the company's business, and that worker is customarily engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business. So you can see how this is going after those Uber drivers in the gig economy. Well, you basically only do your work of this type, this kind of paid compensated driving for Uber. You have no independent livery service that you offer to the public. This is going to the core business, and this is why Uber at the moment is having this big issue about whether the Uber driver has to take every ride that is sent their way by the app or whether they can say yes or no. Are they controlled by the company for whom they are performing the services? Well, let's say you have some workers in California for your organization that operates in multiple parts of the country. It is possible under AB 5 that you have workers who you have long considered to be independent contractors, and everywhere else in the country that you have similar workers, you consider them to be independent contractors. But under California AB 5, they would be employees for California state law purposes. That has a whole bunch of complicated effects because I'm not filing a W-2 at the federal level as an independent contractor. But for the state, you need a W-2 because you have to do state reporting of those wages. And then what happens if I have Section 530 relief, that long-standing relief that's been around since 1978, where if I have been consistently reporting somebody as an independent contractor and I treat all similarly situated workers the same way, and I have a reasonable basis for doing that, if I suddenly start treating my California workers as employees because AB 5 requires me to, but everybody else doing the same work around the country is an independent contractor, am I blowing up my Section 530 relief? So you have to, out of the corner of your eye, keep an eye on AB 5 if you have any workers in California, because it could have, ironically, federal employment tax implications for you in the rest of the country. I want to dive a little bit deeper into circumstances where you have third parties that are involved in the reporting and payment of employment taxes. Because very often, if you're the regular tax advisor, you're handling finance and tax inside an organization, you may not be getting too heavily into the payroll mechanics, because that's often handled out of HR or a payroll specialist, until there's a problem, and then you have to try and dig through what you can find to figure out what the underlying legal reality is. There is defined in the Internal Revenue Code a concept called common paymaster, and it's specifically in Section 3121S, and I have the language up there for you. If two or more related corporations concurrently employ the same individual and compensate at such individual through a common paymaster, which is one of the corporations, the purpose here is to give you a single wage base for FICA. The terminology common paymaster is used very often in a less than technical sense. People will often say, oh, our family of related organizations has a common paymaster. What they really mean is, we've centralized the payroll function in one entity to make it easier for everyone else. Or sometimes even, we've gone so far as to employ the entire workforce out of one entity so that we can manage payroll that way.